is on spiritual reproduction. And reproduction is the means by which all living things produce more of their own kind and keep their species alive. Now, God ordained that reproduction should take place. And first of all, we find it in the scriptures in terms of physical reproduction in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding fruit after his kind, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." When God created, he created once and for all. But in that creation, he ensured the perpetuation of each species' existence ad infinitum. That when he created, everything had the seed within itself and under the right conditions capable of reproducing. Now, if we come along through neglect and destroy one of those species that God has created, God doesn't come along, slap us on the hands, and say, "Guys, you blew it, but I'm going to give you another chance." And now he recreates. But I mean, it is gone, and it is gone forever. But originally, when God created it, everything had this seed and the capability of reproducing itself. Now that is one of the laws of God's creation. That's in verse 11 of Genesis 1. The first command is in Genesis 1:28, where God then commands them to reproduce. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth." So here God commanded people to reproduce themselves physically, and it was the first command that God ever gave. Now, all of God's creation, through, time, has broken every law and commandment that God ever gave to them, but there is one that they have really kept, and that's this one. So much so that now people are worried about overpopulating the world, and in Singapore we have this massive campaign, "Two is enough," irregardless of the sex. And to tell the Chinese that, who come from these large, monstrous families, but you ask any Singaporean today how many children he's going to have, and they say two, and they don't even know why they say two, but the government has done such a beautiful job through the years to make sure that we don't overpopulate that little island. Not only did God command that we reproduce ourselves physically, but God has also commanded that we reproduce ourselves spiritually. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." And one of the distinguishing marks of every disciple of Jesus Christ is that he bears fruit. Now, not only have we been called to bear fruit, but we've also been ordained. In chapter 15 and verse 16 of John, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain." Now, most of the time when we think about reproduction, at least in terms of the physical sense, people don't need a great deal of instruction. It's like the song says, you know, just doing what comes naturally. And everybody normally figures it out for themselves. Now, spiritual reproduction ought to be on that same plane. This is what John 1:3, I think, is trying to say. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It ought to be kind of a natural sort of thing, but oftentimes it is not. And it does require that we get a little help. And God has very graciously provided this, where Jesus promised that if we would follow him, that he would make us to become fishers of men. Now, God may choose to do that by gifting certain men in the areas of evangelism, and those people who have that gift have the responsibility for the equipping of other people who may also take an inner end to winning people to Christ. And if you don't have the gift of evangelism, the only thing that excludes you from doing is teaching it, you know, to other people. But you yourself must learn from one of those gifted people how to do it, since it is a part of the responsibility that God gives to each one of us as his children. Not only does he teach us how, but he also empowers us in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Not only does he empower us, but he also promises spiritual reproduction. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, and for without me ye can do nothing. And again, this is one of those quantitative things. It isn't that you're going to have one and that's it, but he says, you know, that we're going to bear much fruit. And then he also promises us that if we will abide in him, that fruit is going to come and will continue to come. I think in the verse over in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, blessed is that man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So, God wants to make you like that tree. The drought may be around, but those roots are so deep down that we are able to continue year after year, irregardless of the condition, to be able to bear fruit, because that strength and that power comes from Christ himself. Now, there are some prerequisites to reproducing. And the first one, of course, is found there in John chapter 5, verse 15, abiding. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And that abiding that he is talking about there has to do with our daily fellowship with him, where we are in constant contact with him. And it is through that contact that he empowers us, through that fellowship, to be able to reach out. But also in verse 10, he tells us that abiding has to do with obeying. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. And then there must also be that abiding in the Word of God. John 8:31. God, help me. Yeah, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. But the continuing in his word, because it's from that word that we draw our strength, the seed that's going to be sown. It's bread to the eater, and it is seed to the sower. And then verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, of course, shall make you free. But then, not only must we abide, but we must be totally committed to spiritual reproduction. And reproduction is a costly venture, because it means that as we produce, we are responsible for providing the food, the shelter, the clothing, the time, the love, the energy to help those children grow, not only physically, but also spiritually. And it's costly, because it means that I have to die to self. And in that love, it means that I have to put another before my own interest. In John chapter 12, verse 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall to the earth and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And if we don't die to self, we'll not bear much fruit. But if we do die, he says that much fruit will come as a result of it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And again, with that, there comes that sacrifice of self. It's a costly venture. And then thirdly, we must ask God for fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So if we seek and ask God, God will give us fruit. But there's somebody else who also wants to give you fruit. And that's Satan. And Satan is going to give you fruit that is going to take up a lot of your time and is going to produce absolutely nothing. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 20, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not, and underscore that, understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. So if you want the devil to be able to take what was sown, then if the person doesn't understand, he'll have no problem doing that. It's only as we, that as that person understands, it becomes very difficult for Satan to take away that seed which was sown. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed, no, on this line they didn't, and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and by and by is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he which received the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now that's the kind of people that Satan wants to give to you. And there are three kinds that you don't want, and those are the three kinds. And then there's the fourth. He that receives seed in the stony ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So if we ask God and wait upon Him, then He will give us those people. But if we just want somebody and we're not discerning and do not pray and seek God's will in this, then boy, I'll tell you, all of a sudden, he got a whole list of people he'd like to lay on you, wear you out, discourage you. And then consistently and continually work at it. And verse 29 really ought to be in there where Paul says, and this is what I am doing all the time with all the strength that God gives to me. There must come that natural proclaiming of Christ, but it has to be, you know, on a regular, consistent basis. And we're warned over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, and he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the work of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withholdeth not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. But I'll tell you, you know, we're out there and we're kind of looking at people, well, gee, I don't think the Spirit of God is at work there, you know, and we end up and we're not sowing. And of course, the devil's the one saying, you know, boy, just look at those clouds up there, you know, and the wind is kind of blowing and things aren't quite right, and we procrastinate and procrastinate. And the scriptures promise us, you know, that if we don't sow, we will not reap. And he commands us to reap. Now, basically, there are only four things that can keep you from reproducing, either physically or spiritually. And the first has to do with immaturity. I have two young daughters, and because of the immaturity of those reproductive organs, at this point, they cannot reproduce themselves. But there is coming a day that they will hit puberty, and that maturity will come, and as a result of it, physically, they'll be able to reproduce themselves. And yet God protects them at this point in their life through that immaturity. But you know, if we are immature spiritually, we also are incapable. And the tragic thing is that sometimes we've been Christians for 5 and 10 and 15, and puberty ought to have come spiritually. But the Bible says that when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and will become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. And beloved, unless we grow and mature, then our immaturity keeps us from reproducing ourselves. The second thing is disease or sickness to one of those reproductive organs, and physically a person does not reproduce themselves. But the same is also true spiritually, and that sickness is called sin. And if we continue to regard iniquity in our heart, we refuse to deal with that sin, then we simply will not reproduce. The third thing has to do with prevention, and this is where you block conception, and you can do that physically without a great deal of problem in this day and age, but you can also do it spiritually. And we do that by our own testimonies. How often have you heard some non-Christian point a finger at some brother or sister and say, well, if that is what Christianity is like, I don't want anything to do with it. They see that what people proclaim with their lips, they do not live in their life, and they say it's hypocrisy, and they're right. And some of them have a higher moral standard in their sinful condition than some Christians do, and they don't want any part of it. And then the last is abstinence, that where that union does not take place physically, there will be no children born. And spiritually, when we abstain from the proclamation of the Word of God, we do not reproduce ourselves in the life of other people. Now you sit here today, either fruitful in the service of God or still spiritually. And there is no question from a scriptural point of view that God wants you as children to be fruitful and to bear much fruit. And either you are not abiding in Christ or one of these other four things are keeping you from being able to spiritually reproduce ourselves. But beloved, it is not a matter that you cannot, it is a matter that you will not. Because Jesus said, you know, I will make you to be fishers of men, not grounders of bait or feeders of fish, but fishers of men. And not only does he want you to bear fruit, but he wants you to have remaining fruit. And his plan for this physically is found for us over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The fathers have a responsibility to teach their spiritual children. And we see the same thing found for us over here in Psalms 78, verses 5 and 6. And this is not only to be true of the physical, but it is also to be true of the spiritual. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the work of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation who set not their hearts aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So God comes along, he establishes his testimony there in Jacob. And then he appointed a law. What is the law? That these fathers should take and pass it down to the succeeding generations. Now this is what Paul was talking about when he said, Timothy, the things that thou hast seen and heard of me among many witnesses. Here's Paul writing to Timothy. He says, Tim, the things that thou hast seen and heard of me among all these witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Who are you committed to? You don't say that with much conviction. Who? Faithful men who can do what? Teach others also. Four generations. Paul to Timothy. Just teach it to anybody? No. He says, Timothy, find a faithful man who is able to reproduce himself and give it to him. We started out with a rather large class, and we've certainly whittled it down, have we not? And you know, if there weren't any homework assignments and people just kind of come and go as they please, the class probably would be bigger. What is Brother Dawson after? Faithful men. If there is no emphasis to reproduce yourself in the life of another individual, and every week when you come to class, somebody say, hey, how are you doing with those people? Tell me about them. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So, this is the way that we end up with remaining fruit, but we must reproduce to the fourth generation. If you just reproduce to the third generation, it'll all die. And that was one of the greatest fears that I had as a very young missionary going out to the field, knowing the thousands upon thousands of dollars it cost to put me there, to say nothing of the thousands to keep me there, that somehow I would go as a Paul, find some young Timothys, pour out my heart and life in them, and they in turn would commit to faithful men. But faithful man had one problem. He was sterile and could not reproduce the next generation. And at the end of three generations, it would be as if I had never gone. God not only wants you to be fruitful, but he wants you to have much fruit. And he wants you to have remaining fruit. And there are only four things that can keep you from having that fruit. God does not want you sterile, but fruitful.